According to a new report released by the UN's Rome-based food agencies today, eradicating world hunger sustainably by 2030 will require an estimated $267 billion a year going forward. Investments in rural and urban areas are being emphasized, as well as social protection measures. The report notes that, despite the progress made in recent decades, today 800 million people, most of them in rural areas, still do not have enough food to eat. Prepared by the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, the International Fund for Agricultural Development, and the World Food Programme, this new report has been released just days before the Third International Conference on Financing for Development in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, a conference happening from the 13th to the 16th of July. To explain more is Lorenzo Bellu, a senior economist with FAO and head of the organization's Global Perspective Studies Unit. Mr. Bellu, thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much.
When looking at this figure, $267 billion a year of investments are needed. How does that money break down?
Essentially, they break down in two big envelopes. One is the envelope for social protection, and the second one is the envelope for investment. Social protection is needed, and when I say social protection, I mean income transfers to the extreme poor, in order to enable them to start soon to buy or to produce all the food they need. And this means sufficient and nutritious food. That's why we decided to take as reference the $1.25 poverty line to measure the amount of money required according to this benchmark. Of course, transferring money is something that works immediately, but it may not be necessarily economically sustainable in medium long term. So that's why we need to complement these social protection programs with investment, particularly pro-poor investment. Let's say investment which is able to generate income in the hands of the poor. And for us, it is important that this investment is not investment simply generating growth. It is investment that generates pro-poor growth. Poor people have to receive a significant amount of income out of this investment. Without a specific attention, without a specific accent on the proper qualification of investment, poor risk to somehow be left behind by the normal growth processes.
The report notes that a business-as-usual approach would still leave approximately 650 million people hungry in 2030. What is wrong with the current approach?
Of course, extreme poverty is generated by many factors, you know, conflicts, lack of assets, extreme climate events. And in general, the end point is that it materializes in terms of lack of purchasing power and lack of assets to produce income, you know. We believe that probably what has gone wrong so far is that we have relied too much on growth without any qualification. Okay, we talk about proper growth, but this proper growth has not been proper enough until now. We want to put the accent on the fact that investment has to be proper. And there is a second aspect that we want on the line. People can't wait until growth materializes to exit hunger. People need to get to exit hunger now. And that's why in the report we also put the accent on social protection as something that has to be done virtually immediately in order to get people out of hunger now.
So what is being proposed as a better approach when we're talking about potential scenarios?
In the report, we analyze also alternative scenarios, wanted to take stock of methodologies used before, which essentially relied on overall economic growth. And we also wanted to explore the cost of pulling people out of not only extreme poverty, but poverty in general. Of course, these are alternative scenarios that we took into consideration in order to distill the most preferred one, which is a combination of investment and social protection. All in all, the approach that we suggest, combining social protection at $1.25 poverty line plus investment, which progressively takes place, is something affordable and something doable. Of course, some countries, particularly low-income countries, may require to be supported because they may not have enough domestic resources to fund the proposal that we put forward. And this is also a claim to mobilize resources, to mobilize external resources to support them. Other countries, low middle income countries, may be in a position to find fiscal space to fund these programs.
As mentioned earlier, the paper is being presented just a few days before the Third International Conference on Financing for Development in Ethiopia. How will this new report and these new figures contribute to the conversation?
I believe that who can fund what is going to stimulate the debate about the attention that high-income countries have to put on how to sustain the proper growth of low-income countries. So this is a very first implication. And a second implication is probably for all the countries themselves to look forward and to look at the way they conceive the welfare of their societies. And take stock of the findings of the Rio Plus 20, building the future that we want. I mean, of course, this is a challenge. We don't want to have a type of development which is not sustainable, because we want to get rid of hunger once for all. And these are, I would say, modest contributions to the debate, complementing other contributions from other agencies, from the governments themselves, from the civil society and non-governmental organizations and so on. But I mean, this is in the framework of what we can do.
Mr. Ballou, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your questions.